Hey there, fellow entrepreneurs. If you're tired of complicated domain management, I've got the solution for you, Hover.com. Hover makes registering and managing domains a breeze. Their clean interface and hassle-free experience will save you time and frustration. No upsells, no hidden fees, just straightforward domain services. Plus, Hover offers top-notch customer support. Make your life easier. Head over to stigmasandopenwounds.com/hover and simplify your domain journey with Hover.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new Stigmas and Open Wounds. I am Tracy.
And I'm Eric.
All right. So today we don't have a guest. Today it's just us.
Yeah.
But no, this week you guys are stuck with us again. Sorry. But don't worry, next week you got Jess again. So yeah.
You get that soothing voice.
You get the soothing.
And jump over to the meditation well, and you can have that voice just about 3 times a week, is it, I think?
I think that's what it is, something like that. Yeah, it comes out multiple times a week. But hey, you know what? With meditation, you can always just recycle meditations. That's what I do. It's totally great. I love it. So yeah, she's a great meditation podcast. So great
we'll
friend.
Tracy has a podcast super fan who thinks that Tracy's like the greatest podcaster ever to live. So I'm going to have to make sure that he listens to the one of Jess's episodes to find out who is better. So
it's going to be Jess. It's got to be. It's got to be. Because when I listen to it, I'm like, oh man, I got to be more like Jess.
Podcast super fan, you know who you are out there listening right now.
Yeah, you do. So anyway, I'm very excited about today's episode. I really am. And I know I say that a lot, especially in this season, because we have a lot of really awesome episodes this season. But this one is a little bit different.
Little bit out of unexpected. Little just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it kind of did. It came out of nowhere in a sense.
In a sense, yes.
Because
very much in a sense.
The reason it came out of nowhere, I'll just kind of bring it up in a way, because let's just say it, because we had a friend one day that came to me and said, she's like, you know what? I think Eric has ADHD.
Which is funny. And what's the funniest part about it is because the diagnosis came from listening to a podcast I'm on.
Yeah.
So, not just, I hope it wasn't just like one occurrence of it, but I assume she probably heard it over and over again in the podcast and realized like that is.
She became a power listener to our podcast. Actually, a couple of our friends did. So, which is actually very sweet of them. I love it.
And we should also add that this friend is not just a friend, but also
she diagnoses ADHD.
She's a psychologist, so she, or something along that lines, where she's very qualified to make these things.
Absolutely.
Make these kinds of.
And so that is what this episode is about. We're going to talk about Eric, and he's a little bit neurodivergent as well. So I love this.
Which we all kind of
suspected. He couldn't be with me if he was, you know, quote unquote normal, guys. But you know what? It's great. And I had kind of suspected for a while that he was a little bit ADD, ADHD, whatever, you know, whatever the technical term. And yeah, we didn't get him technically tested, whatever. But when our friend said that to me when we were out, I was like, duh, of course he is. Mm. So, you know, she's like, what happens is she was listening to one of his podcasts, not ours. She was listening to one where he is with another guy who happened to be on our podcast in, I believe, season 1. And he happens to get really excited and talk over him. Mm. And it's almost like you just can't help yourself. And I was like, duh. You know, and I had noticed that about when I listened to that podcast too.
I think it's that my brain is running so fast that before he finishes speaking what he's trying to say, right, I've already processed it. And
right,
you know, and I found this really funny because I probably knew this most of my Well, I wouldn't say most of my life, but this isn't like a surprise to me or anything like
maybe
that
you're for your somebody adult to say life. That.
And the number one reason why that, but well, I guess the way I would explain it is when somebody said it to me, it was kind of like an aha moment. Like,
yeah, like, it's like you have a name to it, kind of.
Not even that. It's just that I guess it validates it.
Yeah, yeah, like, that makes absolute sense. Like, well, yeah, maybe I kind of had that, but
like I knew I had this weakness.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, and it's not even a weakness. But, right, it's just you had this thing that was different.
Right. Yeah. And so I knew that was a thing with my personality, whatever you want to call it. But I never really attached it to anything. It was just the way Eric was.
Right.
And the number one, like the reason why this was like a total aha moment is to me is for anybody out there listening that doesn't know, I own an e-commerce business that sells primarily on Amazon. And I have like a bi-weekly call with like six other Amazon sellers. It's just something we've done for like 4 years. And I always, when we're talking about business type stuff, people will say, well, how do you guys do this and stuff like that? And everybody's got like this really long, complex, like thing that they do this. Like, well, I do this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, and mine is like two steps, you know?
Right. Cause you can't go because much I can't. More.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Like,
see, like and that's kind of how I am too. And yeah, I think the biggest thing too is you've always told me, I can go about 50% really well and then I'm about done.
Yeah, yeah, done. Yeah.
And we've kind of discussed that too. And it's just kind of funny. And I'm like, well, yeah, and that 50% is great. but then you kind of check out.
Right, right. Exactly. And there's so many people that go deeper in or whatever. And I don't do it because I don't even think it's that I can't do it. It's just,
right.
It's
just
boring to me. I lose the attention span. I lose the interest. So well, on this call, I used to always tell everybody was like, well, this is the process I do. But remember, I'm a really lazy seller.
Right. But I think what's funny is you call yourself lazy, but you're not lazy. You just know your limitations. And I think that's the biggest thing. You're almost selling yourself short when you call yourself lazy. I think you almost need to start rewording yourself to people.
Well, but I think
from most of the world.
To be fair, with the context of that call,
yeah,
me calling myself a lazy bookseller, it's just kind of a joke thing.
Oh yeah,
you know, absolutely. It's more of a joke thing than it is a like I'm not talking down about myself and stuff. It's just something that we make fun of, and especially since the other primary bookseller, like. He goes down like deep into things. So we're like polar opposites in that sense.
Yeah, and I think I know who you're talking about. And yeah, he like the one who wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and buys himself a course and is like, okay, I'm going to go back to sleep. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he goes way deep into things. So we're like the polar opposites. So that's why I just call myself a lazy bookseller is just because my system is
absolutely
less complex than what – and. But more so than any other Amazon bookseller I know.
But I will say you have to give yourself credit because a lot of people who have ADHD, etc., would not be able to keep a business running for as long as you have.
Right.
So you've been able to keep this thing going even though you do things, as you might put it, half-assed.
Yeah.
You know,
250%.
You've kind of found your niche and be like, okay, so I can do this, but then I can also do this, and they merge well,
right,
kind of thing.
So another part of this is too that when I was a kid, and like I have no idea how bad. Well, I do know that there are definitely people that have ADHD way worse than me because I know somebody. We had somebody on this podcast.
I was going to say, for instance, I believe it was season one again. We had Jason on here, and because I have told you that I thought I had ADHD, and you're like, I don't think you do compare yourself to Jason. And I'm like, yeah, but there's different levels.
Right, right.
And now you and I talk and you're like, okay, yeah, you definitely have it. So then you and I kind of talk about ways to deal, etc. So that's kind of where we talk about it. And we just don't have it to the level that he has it or just on the line. It's kind of like how there's a spectrum for autism. There's a spectrum. There's a spectrum for so many things. I think there's a spectrum for ADHD, ADD, where, and again, I don't really know the difference between ADD, ADHD. I think, you know, whatever. But I think he has it to a point where if he tried to put things in a calendar, et cetera, and a lot of people, they can't make it work. And you can kind of make it work, but you have to have people call you, for instance. I can, for the most part, make it work as long as I have reminders. Mm-hmm. So well, there's different level for everyone.
And I think that was a huge advantage too. So when I was a kid, they actually did diagnose me with ADHD, believe
yes,
it or not.
Yes, I recall you
and,
saying this.
And they diagnosed me and my brother both. And I am by no means qualified for to diagnose people with ADHD, but I would say that there is a strong possibility that my brother has it as well.
I would agree. I would agree.
But my mom opted to not get us put on medication or anything like that for it, which when I look back at it now that I'm thinking like, so growing up, I never really thought there was anything abnormal, you know, like,
right.
But now when somebody brings this to your attention and you attach all these different things that you've struggled with, I guess, in not really right. struggled with, but
right, but that you could have been doing
but
in a different
way. You look at the
way
you do things and the way you have constructed yourself to do things is very mm-hmm. different than a lot of other people because of the fact that, I mean, I have a shorter attention span.
Right.
And when I look at that, I'm like, I'm almost thankful that I never got that she opted to not to put me on medication because right. that kind of forced me to instead of like using, because the minute you get put on ADHD medication, you're now diagnosed. I could have leveraged that as a crutch
yeah,
in my life.
Absolutely.
And I never did. I just found ways to work around it.
Yeah.
Which I think has made me a better me.
Yeah.
But one of the things that knowing this and feeling like, okay, having somebody tell you this and then feeling like, okay, they are probably right.
Right.
You know, because I can see things in my life that, you know, I even, and this is months and months before we were ever even, this person ever told you this.
Right.
I had told you that I figured out that when I do anything, it doesn't matter what it is. It's yeah. like you said, I think.
You do
I
it
think
like you, 50%.
Like I do it like. There's this range that you can do something. You can just kind of dabble in it, and then mm-hmm. you can get further into it and further into it. I only get as far as I – to the point where I'm successful, and then I stop. And right. I don't ever try to go any further than that. And I assume that's because my attention span just isn't there to keep going down that rabbit hole.
I do think so. Like, I can tell that both you and I have a shorter attention span easily. You know, I can tell that you and I can – really go into a good conversation, but then I can also tell that when a conversation hits a certain point that we're both like,
done.
Yeah. yeah.
And so, but I think by the way by having to face it head on as if it wasn't a problem, it made me create me in a way that worked really well
right.
with my handicap to where
Absolutely.
If I would have been flagged really young with a handicap, then maybe it would have just restricted me on what I could do in my life.
Right.
And not work around that.
Absolutely. So like sometimes, so this might sound like a really weird analogy, but like, so you're climbing a mountain, right? You have the option of actually climbing that mountain or taking a horse up that mountain. Well, you're going to feel really proud of that self if you really climb that mountain. More so than if you take that horse up that mountain, right? Mm. So you climbed that mountain yourself rather than taking that horse up that mountain, and you learned a lot by climbing that mountain. So.
Right. And it could be like, because I came up to that mountain and I didn't know whether I could take a horse over that mountain.
Right. That horse was not an option at that.
I had no
idea.
Yeah. But I didn't know that. I didn't know what I was going into. So right. I just went into it.
It was cloudy. Kind of, you had no idea what you were going
into. And I
probably
failed miserably on hundreds of occasions, yep. but I just kept going until I migrated through it.
Absolutely.
Whereas, like, had had I been diagnosed, put on medication, and marked as ADHD,
right,
maybe I would have came up to that mountain and said, there's no way I can get over that mountain, and just stopped right there.
Yep.
But I still continued to go because I didn't realize that there was a hurdle, there was a whatever in the way of what I was trying to do.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I think that was a big thing. But then at the same time now that I can reflect on it and say, okay, I think that this is a real thing, that this is something that I am actually, whatever you want to call it, it's a trait of me.
Right.
And now I look at it and I'm like, okay, so like, would life just get way easier for me if I got put on a medication for it? Or, you know, like, how much farther could I be in life?
Right.
If I had, you know, addressed this hurdle with medication. So it's kind of a weird dynamic to realize this later on in life, because like by now, I don't feel like it's ever held me back from anything I wanted to do, because there just really isn't a whole lot that is missing from what I've done. Like I'm very, very content with where I am, blah, blah, blah. But it's weird to think like, was this something that I could have been miles and miles ahead of, you know, like finding, I would say that I hit this pinnacle of realizing like, I really enjoy my life probably in the net last 5 years.
Right.
And I wonder if if I would have not had this hurdle to jump over, could I have gotten there 10 years ago or something like
you
that?
You know,
and
I don't know.
It's really
if you,
interesting.
I really don't know if you could have, because I think the reason why you enjoyed the life is because of what we've created with this podcast, what we've created with understanding ourselves.
But then again, at the same time, you have to realize,
could you have?
I started listening
yourself
to podcasts, and the first day I ever listened to a podcast, Tracy, I said, I want to make a podcast. And that was like, And
so
that was like in 2003. Yes, people,
so
there were podcasts in 2003.
So yeah, you're right, I guess.
And could I have just gotten there to that point so much faster had,
that
you
is
know,
true.
I not had this hurdle? And I don't know. But it's a really, really interesting dynamic to think about it. But now I'm kind of left at this spot where, okay, so I don't feel like it's held me back from doing the things I wanted to do.
Right. You know,
but do I explore the option of looking at like, is it worth just trying a medication to see, like, would things just get infinitely easier?
You know, I think the biggest thing to do is speak to people who are actually on medication and speak to them and ask, how was your life before and how was your life after? Because we know people like that, obviously.
Yeah.
And I don't think you've done that, quite frankly. And I think that's really going to be the best thing that you can do. And really, the one piece of advice that I have to tell you is, you have once told me, you've actually told me this multiple times, you have never failed at anything that you actually put your whole mind to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that medication would help you, because you are very successful. Now, obviously,
would the medication help me
put
my entire mind?
Would it
to
relax
things,
your mind and
two things, you know, because there are a lot of things that I'd like to do. For instance, like better marketing of podcasts. This is something that I want to do. But
and would it, you know, would it at night, would you relax more in terms of that shaky knee that you bounce so often?
Right now, by the way.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, I can't see it under the table, but yeah, you know, would it do stuff like that? And
well, I mean, to be fair, I know that bothers you, but
it doesn't
care.
Right.
So that's, to me, that's a moot point, but.
Right.
But the point is that this is kind of an interesting dynamic to explore down, because now, you know, I've seen what I've been able to do with not like I knew this was a hurdle for me to get over.
Right.
And not so much that was a hurdle, but it's a hurdle in certain ways.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because it is a hurdle, because if you need to go deep and really learn something, that becomes more challenging for
absolutely. A person suffering. Absolutely.
But in other ways, it might be beneficial. And yeah. So, and that's the quirk of neurodivergence, is that some a lot of these things, we all focus on the negatives it brings to your life, but there are also positives.
That's what I was going
to
say. There's some really huge positives, and so it is so hard. And there's two things that I have to add. One thing is, we've definitely started focusing on the mindfulness journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can take the place of medication.
Mm-hmm.
So just doing meditation every day, just focusing on what's in front of you at the moment, that can really take the place of medication. You don't necessarily need something to calm you down. If you're already focusing on calming you down, you know, you can kind of, maybe that can take you from 50% production to 60, 75, who knows? So I think that can really, that's even helped me a little bit, not all the way, but that can, you know. So I think that's one thing. And then the other thing is that you've even helped me a little bit in the sense of you have sort of, you know, that you take things about 15-minute increments at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And because you told me the one day, you're like, do you see a big task and you just want to cry?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I do. And so then I've started last week, I started really trying to do that. And I started just
What sort have of, you been doing? Just trying
I started,
to take
I started taking things and breaking it down. Like I said, okay, right now I'm going to take this and just do this little task in this room. I'm going to just break down the boxes. I'm going to just do a 15-minute yoga. I'm not going to do a big yoga today. I'm just going to do this. And that really helped me last week. I didn't do a lot last week, but I just started 2 days doing something. And then this week I'm going to hopefully do something. And it's really helped me start to break down and not make tasks so big, because I think I suffer from that, where I see tasks and they're so huge. And that's helped me. So I think we can kind of keep each other accountable for that.
Yeah. And that actually, like, I've tried to tell you to break up the things into little tasks for a long time. I don't know
yeah,
if you realize that, but.
But I'm so bad. I'm so bad at that, because I just want things done. But then I keep putting it off because I see it as big. So.
But I don't think until this all came about that I really realized how important that was for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I thought maybe that, and believe me when I say this, like, breaking big tasks into little tasks helps everybody. I don't care how non-ADHD you are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you're just going to be more efficient if you do that.
Mm-hmm. Even if you want it done, I promise you, it's just better to do it that way. Because you know what? If you can make it through and put two 15-minute tasks together, great. But just start it as one 15-minute task or something like that.
And it's amazing. So since we've gotten back from Chile, there's been little tasks that I would do it during the day that I've just stopped doing because I feel like I have so much going on that I don't have time to do them.
Which you do. You really have been busy.
I have been, but at the same time, so since we had that conversation about breaking things up into little segments and stuff, I've actually taken a to-do list and I took all of the things that I have to do in a week. I'm not fully done with this yet. But all these things that I have to do in a week, I put them on a to-do list to make sure that I get them done. And, you know, the ones that have to be done daily, come back the next day, blah, blah, blah. So, like, it's this big running list that, like, as I add things to it, it will just be kind of like the blueprint of my day.
Right.
And the way I've been approaching it is, so all of the tasks that I put on the list are basically tasks working on my business.
Right.
But then I also work in my business.
Right.
I don't know if everybody knows what that means, but when you're working on the business, it's kind of like you're working on expanding the infrastructure of the business, stuff like that. Whereas working into business is more like you're an employee.
Right.
And so I have to get that to-do list done before I can work in my business. Because what I found was because I had so much work to do in the business, I was putting off the things outside of the business.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I decided that, okay, I'm going to break these up into increments and put them in it. Once I did it, now I've gotten way better and I'm kind of getting back to the point where I was prior to Chili. Like I've got my routine back where I'm doing most of the things we're doing. And I've also realized those day-to-day tasks that I was doing, they're nothing. Nothing.
And you guys, I want you to know, talk to somebody about this too, because part of the way that Eric came to this, we were talking about this at night and he's like, wait, what to-do list do you use? And now Eric, I think, is using somebody else's to-do list that he figured out on his weekly weekly call. But still, he was originally going to use one of my to-do lists. But we kind of figured this out together because I have like a to-do list that's like, don't forget to take out the trash, which I know seems really stupid, but it's like, oh, this is recycle week. Mm-hmm. Because these are stupid things that I want on my list.
And it's funny because taking out the trash, that's a great example of something that like, while taking out the trash is nothing.
It's
like when you have in your head 50 things you need to do. Taking out the trash could be a stressful thing because it's like, when am I going to fit it in between the other 50 things I have to do today?
Right. And it's just like, it's just a stupid thing. Like, is it recycle week? And it's like, oh, yes, it's recycle week. Let me just look at my list. Mm-hmm. So it's just silly little things like that. Like if you can have it in a to-do list, if you have something extra to put on it, oh, let me put it on my to-do list. So I have one on my phone and then I have now a paper one. So, and I know, again, I know some of you, it doesn't work. So then have somebody else that can help you be accountable. Just have something else. Cause I know when Eric has an appointment with somebody, he's like, can you please call me, message me, whatever, because he is slightly worse than I am. And we have some friends where we're always like, I feel bad when I message him, but I'm like, hey, you know, don't forget, you got to come over here in a half hour, whatever. But then, you know, he's like, thanks. Mm. So, but it's just, there's different people that need different things. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's all about working around those challenges. And
right. You need to know what you need and understand what other people need and et cetera.
And I think that's like, so I guess how I would explain it is that by me never making this connection of what that weakness was. So just by knowing that, oh, I'm a lazy bookseller or I'm lazy at everything I do. I only do it halfway and then I move on to the next thing. That's not really understanding why you do that thing.
Right. And that's the biggest thing.
And so that makes it really hard to navigate around it. Mm-hmm. But then when I was told this, first of all, I wasn't like, oh, great, I'm ADHD. No, but
you were very receptive.
Like, I sat down and I thought about it, and I'm like, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. So I'm not telling you that if somebody listens to a podcast you're on and they tell you that you do some weird, quirky talking thing that is common among ADHD people, that doesn't mean that you have ADHD.
Right.
Stop down, reflect, and think about you and think about the things you've struggled with in life and stuff like that and say, do the things I struggle with match with what this person is saying?
Right.
If they do, you might actually have that thing.
Right.
If they don't, well, you know, people do quirky
things.
like they're not only people that have ADHD do the little like finishing of other people's sentences.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, because I mean, I talk over Eric all the time.
Right, but talking over and finishing sentences are a different thing.
Absolutely.
But the point is that by me seeing, having, it's like I now have this challenge marked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just so much easier for me to navigate around it because I know it's there, I acknowledge it's there, and then I can think about, okay, if I'm afflicted by this, what's the best way to fix it?
You know, like do you do medication? Do you just kind of continue your life and just notice things and adjust how you want, like maybe adjust your life, You know, do we just, obviously you've taken the first step by making lists, which I think is a great, I think you're doing a really good thing with where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. And I think honestly, when we get together with some people, just talk to them and say, hey, you know, have you done ADHD medicine? What does it do for you? Kind of stuff like that. And just say,
yeah. And I think if I ever did it, I would just do it really, really experimental just to absolutely. Be like I'll go on it for like a certain amount of time just to see where my brain goes, because just to see like, is it just like me, but everything's way easier, or does it
calm change you too much? Me? Yeah.
You know, like, does it put me, because if it brings up other negative things,
exactly.
I feel like I've done a pretty good job with this ADHD component that
right.
I don't need to add other negative things to my life to make that thing better, because I can navigate around it pretty much. And now that I know exactly what it is, it's that much easier to navigate around it, because now
right.
before, like the way I would explain it is like, so you have a broken computer,
mm-hmm.
right? What's better? The computer doesn't turn on, you have no idea what's wrong, and you have to figure out how to fix it.
Right.
Or you know exactly that it's the hard drive that's failed in the computer, and all you have to do is change a hard drive and it'll right. work again. It's a heck of a lot easier to navigate that problem
yep.
by knowing exactly what the problem is.
Yeah.
And while I probably was aware of that before, I never fully acknowledged it yep. until now, which mm-hmm. and which can make me now say, okay, let's plan how to go around this and not struggle with it.
Yep.
So the hindsight of it all is I think I've struggled with certain things throughout my life that I didn't need to struggle if I just realized what my weakness was.
Yeah.
And nobody likes to hear about their weaknesses, right?
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, when I found out I was bipolar, it was a good and bad thing. I mean, I had a name to it, but then also it was like, oh, I'm bipolar.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's,
so it's again, a hard thing.
It's not like it's a complete weakness. But no, it's probably me excelling in one thing, but being yep. weak in another thing. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. You just have to figure out what you're good at, what you're slightly weaker at, and you know, you just have to figure out how to navigate life. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have anything else to add to this. Do you have anything else that you would like to talk about your journey in finding this out? And
not totally, but the only thing I would sit there and I would advise anybody that's listening to this, like if you're looking at it and thinking, like, I wouldn't go out and try to actively find these kind of things within you. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Absolutely.
Like, don't try to go out and seek that you might have something like this, but, mm-hmm. but just be aware when somebody says, and especially somebody that's very qualified to make that statement.
Right. Right.
That. Because it really has changed the way I've thought about things.
Yeah, I was very happy with how open you were when I said it. I mean, and granted, like we said, it came from a qualified person who said it. So obviously you should have.
And they're my friends. So I mean,
yeah.
On top of that, like I'm not going to get offended by it because I know she's not like being malicious to me or right. something like that. But yeah, I would tell anybody out there is don't go out and try to find these types of things. But if somebody does bring something to your attention, listen.
Yeah.
Because not even that, whether I go on medication or not ever, which I'm kind of leaning towards that I probably won't, because yeah. at this point in my life, I don't see why. The only reason, again, I would try to do it is just because I'm that curious to know, like, yeah. would it make things infinitely easier or something? But listen to it, because I mean, yeah. if you listen to it and then you really think about it and you connect with it, it has really changed my thought process about moving forward with things.
There's no harm in listening.
You know, and recently, like, I applied this very concept within my business. I took a daunting task that I've put off for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I said, okay, and I mean, It took me like probably, now that I know how to do this, it'll take me like 30 minutes every time I do it.
I know, isn't it great?
But it took me like 8 hours to do this because, you know, me being Eric had to stop and like walk away from it because, you know, like I just, my mind
can't. Oh, that's how I do. Oh, I'm so glad that you do that too.
My mind can't sit there and focus on something for that long. So,
I'm glad that you said that because that's how I do it too. I'm like, okay, take a break now.
Yep. Lots of breaks. But I mean, that literally overnight doubled the amount of sales my business was getting by taking that 8 hours. And I mean, and my guy that pulls my orders, he's like, I don't know what you did, Eric, but you fixed it, you know? And so like already the positives that have come from just me reflecting on this for a little bit are showing their fruit.
Good.
You know? And I think like even with like us sitting down figuring out that task list, which again, if you're like, well, thank God I'm not ADHD because I don't want to ever have to do that. But that task list, man, I don't care who you are. It'll make your life so much easier.
Yeah, because you know? I mean, I've been kind of thinking we got to do something like that around the house. It's like, okay, when do we want to do the fridge, which nobody wants to do ever. Granted, you're always the one who does it.
Yeah, and actually, you know what? Maybe I should just add stuff like that to my tasks list too. But it is. And when you see it in front of you, you realize
it's not that much.
No. It's not that much, and then it also really motivates you to crush it. You know, like I'm going to get this done because we all kind of default to wanting to do the things that we want to do or psychologically we think are the most important.
Yeah.
So I personally believe unless you're a very miserable person, sorry, anybody out there, if they don't agree with this, but everybody has a thing in their day they want to do.
Yeah.
So if you give that person a list and say, you can't do that thing you want to do until this list is done.
Yeah.
That's a very motivating factor. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. That's how I did it yesterday. I was like, I have to edit this podcast. And then, and once that podcast was edited, I got to just chill.
And I think like you were talking about with segmenting. So if there is a task that has been in front of you, whether you have, you know, ADHD or you're completely normal, there's still tasks that overwhelm people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take that task and break it up into a million little pieces. And, you know, do one. Just think about it. If you have a 12-hour task that you've put off for 6 months, if you do 10 minutes on that task for the next 30 days, you will be done with that task in no time.
Yeah, it's very true.
What? Once you're done with that task, it's probably gone forever. Or if you do have to redo it again, guess then what? It's going to be significantly easier to do the next time.
Absolutely.
So that's what I got.
Well, guys, if you need to relax as well, though, because you have ADHD or something, I have to tell you, next week we're going to have on Jess again, who was on last week. And she's going to, 2 weeks ago. I'm always so bad at that. And I know. And she's going to be talking about meditation and mindfulness. And I'm so horrible because when we recorded at the end, I did not bring up her podcast again. I'm just
the meditation well.
Yes, the meditation well. And you can find that wherever you can find podcasts. You should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you guys to be able to find that. So I want to bring that up again. The meditation well with Jess Haseley. So, and it is a great podcast that you can meditate to. So I want you guys to find that and come back and listen to her podcast where she talks about that and mindfulness and all that good stuff.
And then after that, we're going to kind of come back with an episode after that, and we're going to talk about our personal experience down this road of mindfulness.
Yep, and how we got into
it and just kind of our reactions to what we've learned about it.
Yeah.
Too, so.
Yeah, so we'll, pretty excited about that too.
Yep, a lot of
good episodes coming up.
Yeah, not neurodivergent episodes, but they're also very, very. I think
they're
anybody, any neurodivergent person can take a lot of
a lot of good stuff from it.
From mindfulness and meditation. And yeah. Guess what? Like I've said a couple times on this podcast, you know, if a neurodivergent person can gain from it, guess what? Everybody else can too.
Yeah, so. A lot of healing stuff from that. And of course, if you have anything to write to us, stigmasandopenwounds@gmail.com, and you can find anything from our back episodes and our book review episodes at stigmasandopenwounds.com. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for you. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you. We'll be right back.